Turn please to 1st Epistle of John and chapter 1, the 1st Epistle of John and the chapter 1. And our text can be found in 1st John chapter 1 in the verse 9. A little phrase that is found: if we confess our sins. And that really is our text tonight. This little phrase that's found here. Just our sins. We want to look at that tonight from the Word of God. Let's look to the Lord for His help. Father in heaven, we thank You, Father, for the hymns that we've been singing tonight about the blood of the Lord Jesus that can cleanse us from all sin. We pray tonight that Thou be with us now as we return, Lord, to Thy Word. And we pray for help to preach the Word to fit upon our heart. We pray, Lord, to be a word in season. And I pray that I will cause people to consider their sins. And I pray, Lord, I will cause them to come to Christ, to be cleansed from their sin, and to receive everlasting life. And so we ask for Thy help. We pray for Thy Spirit to be given to us. We pray, Lord, for a visitation from Thyself to every heart. And glorify Thy great name, the salvation of souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can see tonight that our text is a very short text. It just consists simply of two words: our sins. I have no doubt tonight that the very youngest to the oldest person tonight will be able to remember the text that was preached tonight from this pulpit. Because you may go home tonight and you may meet someone and they'll say, "Well, what did Noel preach about tonight from this pulpit? What sermon did he preach?" And I'm sure everyone this night will be able to say, "Well, he preached a very short text. He preached on our sins." I'm sure everybody will remember the sermon tonight for that purpose alone. It's not only a very short text, it's a very serious text. Because it's speaking about that which is the greatest curse to mankind and to God. The greatest curse in anyone's life is sin. The greatest curse in this world is sin. The greatest curse to God in this world is sin. Sin is a terrible thing in the sight of a holy God. And so it's a very serious text. Our sins. In Hebrews 1 verse 9 it says of the Lord, "Thou hast loved righteousness and hateth iniquity." God hates iniquity. God hates sin. And so seeing this is true, well, it's a very serious text we're dealing with tonight. It's a very simple text. Our sins. The word "our" is not very hard to make out tonight to speak about ourselves. The word "sins" is not very hard to work out tonight, especially when we take it to the Bible. And what is the Bible interpretation of what sin is? Well, the Bible makes it clear what sin is to all of us. 1 John 3, verse 4. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law." There it is, in black and white, in God's Word. What is sin? It is breaking the law of God. And when you and I sin, we break God's law. And that's simple tonight. And so it is also a very, very simple text. It's speaking about us tonight breaking the law of God and sinning against God. And so it's simple tonight. It's a very suitable text. Here's a text that suits everyone. Our sins. I can take this text tonight for myself, and so can you. It speaks about something that's in the life of every man, a woman, and boy and girl in this whole meeting, or can I say, on the face of this earth. Here is a text. No matter where you preach it, no matter what pulpit, no matter what church, no matter what place in the world where we preach this tonight, our sins, it'll suit everybody. And dear friends, I want to say tonight, it'll suit you. There's nobody tonight in this meeting can switch off and say, "Well, the sermon tonight is not for me." It's for every one of us. Even you're saved. It's our sins. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 20 says, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." There's not one, he says. As he looks over the whole world, and as God would look over this whole world, there's not a man, there's not a woman who doesn't sin. My sin. So friends, it is a suitable text tonight as well. It's speaking about your sins and my sins. And could I say that it's a scriptural text? Because here is a text that is found 19 times in God's Word. And so really what we have here tonight, a sermon with 19 texts. I've only taken one particular place in the Bible. No doubt I've been mentioned. I think nearly all the rest of them will be mentioned during my sermon. Here then is a scriptural text. Throughout the Word of God, it speaks about our sin, our sins, our sins. Throughout God's Word. And twice we have it just in the singular, our sin. So 21 times, 21 texts. It speaks about our sins. Surely, friends, when God has named something, 19, or put in our sin in it, 21 times, here's something God wants us to take notice of. Here's something God wants us to look at, because we're come face to face throughout the pages here of the Scriptures with this little two words, our sins, our sins, our sins, 19 times. So it's a scriptural text. It's found right throughout the Word of God. I'm just looking here tonight. Our sins. There's a number of things I want to say about our sins tonight from God's Word. The first thing I want to look at about the calculation of our sins. It is interesting to notice that the first couple of mentions of this term in the Bible, our sins, is to do with adding or added. The first mention is 1 Samuel 12 and verse 19. "And all the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added all unto our sins, this evil, to ask us a king." And here's the people comes to Samuel and says, "Pray for us. Well, we have asked for a king." But notice what they have said. "We have added unto all our sins." But notice, we have added. And when you go to the second mention of this term, in 2 Chronicles 28 and verse 13, the leaders, or the heads of the children of Ephraim, says unto them, "Ye shall not bring in the captives hither, for as we offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to our sins." And notice, to our sins. In the first two mentions in the Bible, it talks about the calculation of our sins. It talks about adding to our sins. It talks about added to our sins. And Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 12, it says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us." Now you think of that. Talks about adding, talks about added, talks about multiplying. And every time in those three instances, it's related to our sins. Adding to, added, and multiplying our sins. Surely we can see here is something that is increasing. It talks about adding. It talks about being multiplied. You see, friends, the calculation of our sins is found in the very first mention. Adding, added to our sins. If you think about the sins of men, if you sin 10 times a day, that's in 1 year, it's 3,650. I'm just going to double that to make it easy for myself tonight. 7,300 in 1 year. Do you see the calculation of our sins? How they're growing, how they're being added to, how they're being multiplied in just 1 year with a very, very, very small figure of 10 sins a day. What I want to say tonight, which is totally ridiculous of any man. And dear friends, you can see here the calculation of our sins. They are increasing. They are growing. They are multiplying. And they are many. Because it says in 2 Chronicles 28 verse 13, "For our trespass is great." Oh, the calculation of our sins. Could we add them up tonight? Could you, anyone in this meeting tonight, add up your sins before God? Could you? Think about the secret sins. The sins that's done, dear friends, in the heart. In Psalm 90 verse 8, Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins, in the light of Thy countenance. Friends, count your secret sins. To those that committed in secret. The secret glance, the secret lust, the secret bitterness, the secret lies, the secret anger of the heart. Could you count them? Could you count up your sins tonight? Just the secret sins. Couldn't count them. Add to them the sins of your youth. In Psalm 25, verse 7, the psalmist says, Remember not the sins of my youth. He knew his youth, many sins in his youth. We're foolish, we're wayward, every one of us, every one of us. The sins of our youth, the lies, the thefts. Add them up, friends. Add them up to the secret sins. Do you not see they are increasing? Do you not see they're being added to? Do you not see they're being multiplied? Our sins. What about the sins of the heart? In Matthew 15, verse 19, For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Now listen, these are the words of Christ. And He's speaking about the wickedness. And He's speaking about the sins that's in our hearts. And He gives a number of them. Oh dear friend, the sins of the heart, they are wicked, but oh, they are great. As John Calvin said, the wicked have the seeds of hell in their own hearts. He knew what man's heart was really like. The wickedness and the sins of the heart. And I say to you tonight, well, add the sins of your heart. Add them up. Put them along with the secret sins tonight. Put them along with the sins of your youth tonight. They're increasing, aren't they? And they're being multiplied before you tonight in this meeting. They're getting greater and greater. What about the sins of the tongue? In Psalm 10, verse 7, speaking about the wicked man, sinful man, his mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Oh, dear friends, can I say to you, the lies, the deceit, the cursing of the tongue of man, out of all the words that you have said, all the lies that you have told, all the swear words you have said in your lifetime, add them all up, multiply them. Our sins, the calculation of them. But oh, dear friends, not only about the things that you have done and said, what about the things you didn't do? The sins of omission, because in James 4, verse 17, Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's what the Bible says. Oh, dear friends, to do things that is evil and to do things that is wrong, it is sin in the sight of God. But all it tells us here in God's Word, to know to do something that is good and you don't do it, it's sin. Well, think of all the things. Think of these tonight on Satan in this meeting. Of the things that you know you should do and you didn't do it. How many appeals have you turned down? Many offers of the gospel have you rejected? How many times have you turned your back on Christ? You couldn't add them up. But I want to say this tonight. God has added them all up. God is adding all your sins up all the time. You and I don't add them up. I don't believe there's a man or woman in this meeting tonight to sit down at the end of the day and write down all their sins, everyone. You couldn't do it. And I want to say to you tonight, on Satan, in this meeting, God has them all down and God has them all recorded. And I want to say to you tonight, God has them all added up. You see, the calculation of our sins. We talked about added to our sins. Adding to our sins. Multiplied. Dear friends, you couldn't count them. And I want to say to you tonight, on Satan, in this meeting, your number, your sins are very great in the sight of God. And I want to say to you tonight, if you're in the service this morning and you're back again tonight, and that is good, but I want to say this, there's more sin been added to your account from this morning.
And if you're here last week in the gospel meeting and listened to the preaching of the Word of God, and you went a whole week without Christ,
well, you've added more sins. They're adding up all the time. And God's counting them all up. Our sins, the calculation of our sins, they're being added up by God tonight. And He has a number. And sin is growing in your life all the time, unsaved in the meeting. But I want to speak about the consequences of our sins. I want to say first of all about the defilement of our sins. You know, the first mention of this word sins in the Bible. I wonder if somebody asks you tonight, where is the first mention of the word sins in the Bible? Would you know? Well, I didn't know either. I had to confess until my study this week. It's by Leviticus 16 and the verse 16, and it is associated with defilement. Talking about the work of the high priest, the Day of Atonement, it says, and he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, because of their transgressions and all their sins. And there's a first mention of the word sins in the Bible. But notice, it's related to uncleanness and transgressions. It is linked to the transgressions and to the uncleanness of the people. And here we can see very, very clearly in the first mention of this word sins, it's something to make you unclean. It makes you defiled before a holy God. The word unclean itself is found 82 times in the book of Leviticus alone. And time you come to this word in the book of Leviticus, unclean, unclean, unclean. And he's showing a very, very simple lesson to his readers and to his hearers that sin is something that will make you unclean, that it defiles you. Listen, before God, unclean. Before God, defiled. Where Isaiah said in Isaiah 64 and verse 6, but we all are as an unclean thing, he said, everyone. As he looked around them at the people. Oh dear friends, they're all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are filthy rags. You see, our sins have defiled us. And dear friends, now your sins have defiled you before God. Oh, you say, my neighbours, I could go and knock the door of your neighbour and say, well, what sort of person is that woman next door, or that man, whatever the case may be? And oh, they'll say, well, they're very kind and they're very good and you can depend upon them. But friends, when I knock God's door, what about so-and-so who comes to our congregation? He says they're defiled and unclean. And that's a verdict that really matters, you see. Sin is something that defiles the sinner in the sight of God. And I want to say tonight, oh, friends, you are unclean. If we really could only see ourselves as God sees us, corrupted and unclean and defiled because of sin. It should terrify anyone in this meeting tonight. See, our sins defile us. They make us unclean. And our sins bring a great division between us and God, because Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins, I know the sins you get yours, have hid his face from you that he will not hear. And here he tells something very, very plainly and very, very simply, that sin is something that cuts a person off from God. It is something that brings a division before a man and God. Our sins brings a division. It takes a man away from God. It closes a person out from the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ said in John 8, in the verse 21, he says, I go my way and you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. And there's a division even wider. And the Lord says, listen, I'll be going away. And he says, I want to tell you, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. You see, friends, our sins, it brings a division between us and God in life and in death. And I would say to life, even in eternity. You're in this meeting tonight, far away from God. your sins has closed you out from God. And had to be faithful tonight, your sins will close you out from heaven. You'll not be getting in. You'll not be going into God's holy city to be with Christ and to be with His people, and there'll be something that will close you out. It's your sins. You see, friends, the consequences of our sins are serious. A lot of people brush up sin onto the carpet and say, well, it doesn't really matter, but it's lies. It's a lie of the devil. It's deceit. I want to speak about the dominion of our sins as well, because we find when we follow this term, our sins, through the Bible, we find it again mentioned in the days of Nehemiah in chapter 9. And the people are making a confession to God, and it says, we are servants this day. And then they say in verse 37, and it giveth much increase unto the kings whom thou hast sat over us because of our sins. Also they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress. And here's our people really confessing to God about their bondage, because they were back in their land, but they were under a different king. They were under a foreign authority. They were in bondage. They said to themselves, Lord, we are servants. What is? We are slaves, Lord. And why? He says, because of our sins. I notice again this little phrase again crops up in God's word, our sins. Because of our sins, Lord, they have dominion over our bodies. Oh, they have dominion over our cattle, at their pleasure. And Lord, we are in great distress. Do you see the dominion? Do you see the slaves? The slavery that these people are under. Why? Because of their sins. And our sins puts a person in bondage. And puts you in bondage. In Proverbs 5 verse 22, his own iniquities, not somebody else's, but it says here, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. There it is, in black and white, in God's word. Sins is something that puts a person in bondage. The Bible says, he shall be holden by his cords of his own sins. And I'll say it tonight in this meeting, whether you like the terminology or not, you are a slave to your own sin. Oh, you say, no, I'm not a drunkard. Fair enough. You say, no, I never gamble. That's fair enough. You say, I don't take drugs. But if you're not saved, you're still a slave to sin. Your own pet sin, whatever it may be. And maybe there's some tonight, and you're held by the booze, and you're held by lies, and you're held by deceit. And you're held by the pleasures of this world. Oh, friends, what is it? Our sins brings us into bondage. It brings you into bondage before God tonight. That's the teaching of the Bible when we follow this little phrase through the Bible. Here are people confessing to God. They have dominion over us. They have dominion over our bodies. Oh, does sin not have dominion over the unsaved person? Certainly. Over his body. Over his house. Over everything he possesses. Is that you tonight? Is that you tonight in this meeting? Sin has dominion over you. The very fact you haven't come to Christ shows that that is true. That is true. You're not saved tonight. Now, why are you not saved? Why have you not come to Christ? Because sin's holding you. Your sin is holding you back. Now, the consequences when we find here in this little phrase is death, because the prophet Ezekiel spoke about our sin as well, as we look at this word throughout the Bible. Ezekiel 33 verse 10, therefore, O thy son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus he speaks, saying, if our transgression and our sins be upon us, and we pine away in them, how should we then live? And notice, here's the prophet Ezekiel, and he's preaching the very same sermon, the very same text that John preached about, our sins. He speaks about dying in our sins. And I want to say to you very simply from the Bible tonight, the consequences of our sin is death. The pleasures of sin only last for a season, a very short season. The consequences of your sin unsaved is death. That's why you're dying. That's why you will die. There's a day coming, then you'll pick up your wages, and it's death.
As Thomas Monckton said, in the days and the ways of sin, you have a bad master, worse work, and the worst wages. Isn't that true? You're working for the devil. And what terrible work he gives you to do. And then you forget your wages, death. And I said to you tonight that sin will bring forth death. The prophet Daniel spoke on this phrase as well, our sins, in Daniel 9 verse 16. He's praying to the Lord, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because of our sins. And there's this phrase again. The prophet Daniel, this man of God, he's preaching this very same text. And he's preaching here about the destruction because of our sins. And he's saying to the Lord, turn away thy wrath. Turn away thy rage, Lord, that he has upon our city, this city, Jerusalem. Why? Because of our sins. And I said to you tonight, friends, here it speaks about wrath coming upon a people because of their sins. Sin brings forth destruction. One writer said, sin puts hell into the soul and the soul into hell. And sinner, can I say to you tonight, the destruction that you will face because of your own sins will be terrible. Terrible price to pay. Terrible to come before the Lord and you're not saved. And you come before God and all of your sins and to be cast out of the presence of God and to lose your soul. Because of our sins, your sins. I want to speak about the crucifying of our sins. We have learned that sin will take you to hell, bring forth death and separation. We know the very first mention of this term, our sins, in the New Testament is to do with Christ. 7 times this little phrase, our sins, is linked to Christ. The first mention is 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how Christ died for our sins. That's the first mention in the New Testament of this little phrase, our sins. Listen, Christ died for our sins. In Galatians 1 and verse 4, when Paul was writing to that church, he says, who give himself for our sins. That's the second mention of it. And he's writing here, he's writing to this people about our sins, and he's telling them the crucifying of our sins, that Christ died for our sins. And that's why we sang tonight, Man of Sorrows. That's why we told about the one who died upon the cross. The crucifying of our sins. Christ died for our sins. As Thomas Watson said, the evil of sin is not so much seen in that 1,000 are damned for it as that Christ died for it. Because Christ is God. And Christ is holy. And Christ is pure. And yet the Bible tells us here about the crucifying of our sins that Christ died for our sins. 7 times I tell you that this term is mentioned in relation to Christ. Think about the placing of our sins. Because of 1 Peter 2 verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. There's a little phrase with the placing of our sins. He bare our sins, or he carried our sins in his own body. As you know, the Bible tells me, in the love of God, our sin was laid upon the account of Christ. And they were placed on Christ. Oh, friends, not by my hand, not by the hand of any prophet. But our sins was laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ by the Father himself. And he who knew no sin, he became sin for us. And all dear friends, when we think of our sins tonight, well, we think about Christ. And we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins been placed upon him. All that multitude of sin. All that wickedness. All that blasphemy. All that lies. All that lust. All that rebellion, friends. There it is. It's all placed on the spotless Lamb of God. Oh, the love that God has had to us. He placed them on the head of Christ. And eh, dear friends, can I say about the punishment of our sins? You see, the Apostle John brings this out in his epistle. The Apostle John actually speaks about this phrase five times, our sins. In 1 John 2 and verse 2, and he says, He is the propitiation for our sins. And in 1 John 4 verse 10, he says, Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And that word propitiation is a big word, but it means the atonement. It means Christ standing in the sinner's stead. It means Christ suffering in the sinner's place. It means that Christ, He takes our wrath. He takes our punishment. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. And when Christ went to the cross, He died for our sins. Yes, He did. But He suffered for our sins. And He suffered greatly. The wrath of God, the Father, fell upon Christ. You see, friends, as He hung upon the cross, He has our sins placed upon Him. And He dies in our place. And He suffers in our stead. And He's making an atonement. He's making a sacrifice to satisfy the divine justice of our Father. He suffered for our sins. You see, the punishment of our sins is found in the Bible. He is a propitiation for our sins. We sang tonight those lovely words, bearing shame and scoffing root in my place. Condemned He stood. Do you see it? He stood in your place. He took your sin. He took your punishment. Listen, that shows His love, doesn't it? That shows His mercy to us tonight. That He loved us. He died for us. He suffered for us. And all unsaved tonight, here is the wonderful, wonderful message of the gospel. Christ died for our sins. What does that mean to you tonight? That Christ died for sinners. He took our place in punishment. Our sins. The purging of our sins is found in Hebrews 1 verse 3. And when He had by Himself, and here's what He says, purged our sins. He purged them. In other words, friends, He took them all away. Because of 1 John 3 and verse 5, and ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins. There's that little phrase again, our sins. In Hebrews it says, He has purged our sins. And John says, well, here is why He has come. He has come to take away our sins. Oh, dear friends, here's the purging by the Lord Jesus Christ for our sins. He takes them away. Well, thank God for the blood. That's why we're singing tonight. Wash me in the blood of a lamb, and I shall be whiter than the snow. I'm glad tonight Christ can take away your sin. He can take away your sin tonight. You say, Noel, my sin is great. He said tonight, my sins are bad. He said tonight, my sins, I cannot number them. Listen. He can take them all away. He can take them all away. Don't care if they're sins of 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, or 50 years. He can take them all away. Do you believe it? Do you believe Jesus died for you? I said to you tonight on Satan in this meeting, do you believe He died for you? Do you believe tonight there's power in the blood? Do you believe that? I hope tonight you say in your heart, yes, I believe. I believe He can take away my sins. You see, the crucifying of our sins. Five times, little phrase, our sins. To do with Christ, He died. He suffered in our place. What does it mean to you tonight on Satan? Does it mean anything to you tonight? That Christ loved us and gave Himself for us, that He would suffer and die for our sins. You see, He made the propitiation for our sins. That's the good news of the gospel. He took my place and died for me. And every child of God can say that tonight in this meeting. He took my place and He died for me. I want to say lastly and quickly about the cleansing from our sins. The last mention of these words, our sins, are found actually in Revelation 1 and verse 5. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Hallelujah. Not a great phrase. That's the last time this mentioned in the Bible. This little phrase, our sins. Oh, the song has been raised up to God in heaven. And they're singing and they're praising God. Unto Him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. They're praising God for cleansing
in the blood. I'm glad there's power in the blood tonight to cleanse you from all sin. That's the last mention of our sins in the Bible. But listen, they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are your sins washed in the blood of the Lamb tonight? Are they all? I'm glad mine's all gone tonight. They're all gone, every last one of them. Oh dear friends, from all sin He cleanses us. And in the cleansing of our sins, I want to say three things very quickly. There's the compassion of the Lord. In Psalm 103, in the verse 10, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And that is true. If God dealt with me according to my sins or iniquities, or could I say this tonight, if God dealt with you according to yours, we'd all be in hell. The very angels with sin that Peter speaks about in 2 Peter 2 and verse 4 was cast down to hell. There was no mercy. There was no compassion. There was no chance. There was no salvation for the angels. But given it comes to our sins, why God hates them, why God condemns them, why the Lord will punish all our sins, either on the sacrifice or in hell, He has compassion. And His compassion on you, friends, He took you away in your sins to be lost. There is confession to the Lord for cleansing. Look at our text, if we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, dear friends, here we have this confession to the Lord. We're confessing our sins unto the Lord. The first mention of the words "our sins" in the New Testament is found in Luke 11, verse 4. And forgive us our sins. There it is, just confession. Personally and honestly saying, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Confessing our sins. Oh, to get cleansing, you must confess them. You must own them. You must repent from them, of course. You must come before God and say, Lord, I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven and against Thee. And I'm no more worthy, Lord, to be called Thy Son. And I ask You, Lord, to forgive me. And I ask You, Lord, to cleanse me. You must confess them. Psalm 79 and verse 9, he says, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of Thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins. For Thy name's sake, even the psalmist was speaking about our sins, and he says, purge away our sins, Lord. Take away our sins. Listen, that's how you're saved. You come by faith to Jesus Christ. You realize He alone can save you. And you ask Him to save you. Lord, wash me in the blood of the Lamb, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Lord, take away my sin and give me everlasting life. Dear friends, when you turn, then you're saved. You're saved, you see, but you must confess them. You had to be an honest. No good hiding them. People hide their sin. They cover over their sins. And listen, useless. They'll all come up. They'll all be brought before you and before the Lord someday. You must confess your sin. There's also a conversion to the Lord. I was interested to find that the first mention of the word sins in the New Testament is Matthew 1 verse 21, and it speaks about Christ, and I shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. That's the first mention of sins in the New Testament. Listen, it's all to do with Jesus saving you from them. That's the first mention. And I want to say it tonight in closing, the Lord can save you from your sins. You see, our sins is a wonderful study when you look out through the Bible. There's a great Savior can save you tonight. Listen, are you willing to confess your sin? Are you willing to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost without Christ. Christ, my only hope. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't pay for your way to heaven. But you must come to Christ. And if you come to Christ the way you are tonight with all of your heart, do you believe He'll save you? Do you believe, friends, He'll cleanse you? Well, what about our text? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When we go home tonight, all your sins are taken away. When we go home tonight from this meeting, saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Listen, our sins, confess them, and Christ will cleanse them, and He'll give you everlasting life. Would you come and trust Him? We pray the Lord will speak to your heart tonight, and we pray that you'll call upon His name, and He will save you. Amen.